Morning and welcome to Getting Down to Brass Tacks for this Sunday, the 10th of January, 2021. My name is Glenn Murray. I'll be your host today, along with Dennis Johnson. May I say, rather, the incomparable Dennis Johnson, who will be both your technical operator and your producer. Remember, as usual, that this program, Brass Tacks Sunday, is brought to you with a kind compliments of support of Williams Industries Incorporated. And to participate, we are feel free to join us on 434-1790. That's the telephone, and WhatsApp will be 266-4862. Along with Dennis Johnson in exploring today's topic, which I might say is that given the COVID situation in Barbados, I think this is the only game in town, so to speak. This is a topic that is consuming us all naturally as a country because of its preponderance in society, impact on society. And therefore, I thought it would be useful for us to expand on that discussion, not to go over the well-trodden path necessary, but well-trodden path of the physical and the medical and the economic impact of COVID-19 on the society. But I think that we can benefit from an exploration of the impact on the human side of the pandemic in Barbados. You know, they say that Barbados is not only an economy, it's a society, and it's a society in everything. In fact, every country in the world, every nation is both an economy and a society. So this time we want to focus on the impact on human beings, the individual impact. We want to talk about the society as a group and also the individual. And in order to do that, I have with me a couple of experts, whom I will introduce you to shortly. The first will be, I'd like to introduce you to reintroduce you to Dr. Hajima Degye, who was with us last September. She's a sociologist and teaches sociology at the Barbados Community College, and has also done some lecturing at the Caerphilly campus of the University of the West Indies. You would know that she came with, I think it was September last year, and she came as the first, she really has gone down in social history as the first female of the Muslim community of Barbados. She's a bred and born Barbadian Muslim, as the first female to have gone on to do sociology. Plus, she's one of the very first few to have gone to tertiary education, right? I'd like to welcome back Dr. Degye.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Marie and listeners. Thank you for that introduction, Mr. Marie. It's nice to be here. I'm looking forward to the discussion.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Degye. And also guest expert is Dr. Deanna Ford. Dr. Deanna Ford let me read her a little bit more of her CV. I know things off by hand, but she's a psychologist and a lecturer. She's lectured at Caerphilly campus on, she's a counselor and education psychologist. She's a former lecturer in psychology and education at Caerphilly campus at UWE. Dr. Ford is now in private practice and concentrates mainly on familial situations and relationships. She's married to a Barbadian, have been born in Trinidad. She's been here for 40 years. So to all intents and purposes, she has been regenerated. She has been reacculturated, re-everything into a Barbadian. And she's also a very devout Roman Catholic. So this is not the first time she tells me she's been in Brass Tacks some years ago. So welcome back, Dr. Ford.
Hi, Mr. Murray, and my fellow colleagues, Dr. Degye and Nicola. Hi, Dennis. Most of all, hi, Barbados, and those persons listening to me. I am pleased to be here. I think what we are going to talk about today has to be said. A lot of it we know, but a lot of it we need to be reminded about. Looking forward to the program and to your calls.
Thank you, Dr. Ford. We are waiting to be joined by another participant who has actually lived the COVID-19 experience. I don't like to use the term survivor. It seems so harsh and impersonal. I'd rather say an ex-patient, a COVID-19 ex-patient. She should be joining us shortly, and she'll be able to give us the insight into an individual's experience, both socially, psychologically, and every other way. That I'm sure will enlighten us a way that I don't think that a lot of Barbadians have had that exposure before. But until she does, I think I should set the stage for why I thought this discussion was important and timely. I think Barbados, as a society, as a country, has for a long live rather. This may not be in fact some political upheavals, some economic downgrades, exercising problems, but we have never, as a society, been shaken up by anything like COVID for a long, long time. I think the last equivalent to that kind of national shaking up would have come with Hurricane Jeanette in 1955, which would have impact on the whole society, which 122 people died, and hundreds of houses and other buildings were either damaged or destroyed. That's September 1955. Since then, we've lived a rather charmed life. And before, let me say, the last direct impact of a hurricane on Barbados in 1955 was Hurricane Jeanette, was in 1898. So we lived a rather lucky, charmed life in Barbados, at least where natural disasters are concerned, to the extent that Barbadians used to say that God is a virgin. Although I must point out that with the advent of COVID, I have not heard anybody mention that phrase at all. So I think they have been so shaken up at their roots that they have probably thought that the world is coming to an end, because we've never seen like this before. Barbados is not the way it was, and maybe might not be that way again. And then apart from that, Barbados has not really had an experience with pandemics. We've had some epidemics. A pandemic, from all that I've been able to find, it used a large pan, meaning all them, all people, the whole, a total society, and even the world is affected. But we have not had exposure from what I can recall to, we have no record of the Spanish flu that I can find. We've never dealt, I think, with the plague or Ebola or SARS. We've had some epidemics. I think the last epidemic known would have been the 1854 experience with I'm forgetting the name now, where we lost 20,000 people, and therefore this one has meant this man has come with us where we have no cholera. So we had the cholera epidemic, and we have no history as such, no local history, no folklore, no songs, no stories of dealing with epidemics. So I think this COVID-19 has caught Barbados unprepared culturally and socially and even psychologically for such a unfortunate experience. I don't know whether Dr. Degier might want to join us now and give her impression, because this really represents social change, not planned for, not anticipated, but something that has to be dealt with and managed like any other aspect of social change. Dr. Degier, your views on my opening gambit?
Okay. Yes, Mr. Marie. But first of all, I want to apologize for to Dr. Ford and Nicola. I forgot to say that I'm pleased to be here on the panel with you, and I'm sure that we're going to have a very fruitful discussion. Now, Mr. Marie, your what you have said, yes, I think that this pandemic is in some ways unprecedented, and you made mention of the cholera epidemic. But yeah, we have some type of history written a little bit, but we don't hear it. We don't hear about the cholera epidemic in folklore and so on. So what has happened is that we Barbadians have been exposed to a social change that is unprecedented, and just been plunged into it. And we are all trying to feel our way around, trying to find ways to adapt. And this pandemic is reshaping society in many, many ways, and in some lasting ways. And because we don't have a prior example, a lot of us are just trying to find our feet, feel our way around. And the changes have been so sudden, people have not been given a chance to adapt and adjust and in many, many ways, right? On a societal level, even if you think about the institutions like education, how we teach, how we learn, how we are in taking in our education, the religious institutions, for example, have had to make a drastic change in the way they operate, government, state agencies, everything, right? So change on every level. And the thing is that how a society responds to change many times determines its survival and how we meet those challenges, whether those challenges are natural or they are created by human beings, they are sudden or they are gradual, whatever the case may be. So a lot of our survival is going to depend on how we cope, not just how we cope, but how we manage it as a society. And we are dealing with many, many, many social changes. And these changes are unfolding in some really unique ways. All aren't negative, right? Many of the things aren't negative. I find that Barbadians have found some very creative ways in dealing with these social changes. And that's the nature of human beings, that they adapt and they adjust with the help of society. So you find that people have been finding opportunities, facilitated, of course, by technology. People have opened businesses that, you know, like you have food businesses, food delivery companies, people creating all kinds of innovative businesses related to obviously technology and so on. But all in all, it is the uncertainties, right? The unexpected, and uncertainties create fear. And I think that we are in some ways living in a society where there's a lot of fear. Yes. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Dorje. If I might, therefore, I will come back to you for some more definitive details where you can explore some areas of what you mentioned in a little more detail. Okay. But Dr. Ford,
yes.
How would you describe how would such a situation impact on the individual within the society? How do you adjust? And so what are some of the signs that you've seen as to the repercussions of this pandemic on the Barbadian individual?
Yeah, I concur with the historical references, and I do agree that historically there might not be much for us to go on, but look, coronaviruses have been around for a very long time. The ones identified as dangerous to human beings thus far are the SARS and the H1N1, and we happily sanitize our feet when entering businesses and planes to prevent the movement of this virus. What makes COVID-19 particularly different is that it is highly contagious and requires very strict protocols to keep us and others safe. We are asked to almost give up our freedom, which many of us feel very passionate about not doing. But wait, whose lives are we safeguarding? Our very own lives and our very loved ones. I know it's not easy, but we can do it. Remember, once we think of our rights as being prohibited, we get defensive, which leads to retaliation and disobedience. And this, listeners, I want you to understand, that's human nature. We're not doing anything different. We are retaliating because we feel disenfranchised, and we shouldn't be, because it's a question, as my colleague said, about survival. I'm not sure if I should talk about the impact on the actual Barbadian public right now.
Have you seen any manifestations of some of the impact, both negative and positive, on individuals with whom you've had to deal with in your practice?
Yes, not only in my practice, but generally. I mean, let's think of the vulnerable groups as outlined by WHO. Huh? And of this list, there are 12 categories that they suggest are the most vulnerable groups. But I want to speak about children and those suffering with or encountering domestic violence. Instead of going down, that has gone up. Abuse and violence against children has gone up. And that, to me,
comparatively, a great increase or a slight increase or a tremendous increase?
At least a 20% increase overall throughout the Caribbean. That's the last research done by UNIFEM and UNICEF. So there's about a 1 in 5 chance of somebody who would not have been abused before being abused now.
And you think that would apply to Barbadian situation also?
Two of the studies that I read included Barbados. So we can say, yes, it would apply across the Caribbean. Now, let's make no mistake. Barbados is in the forefront of how we are handling this pandemic. We may not agree with everything that is being done. We've had a spike. We are trending down now. I myself have views on certain things, but overall, across Latin America and the Caribbean, we are doing very well. Barbadians have responded to their leaders, to their medical fraternity, and we are, in fact, being careful. Remember, in every community, there'll be one or two who will seek to defy, and we can't help that.
Yeah, but have you, at the individual level, would you say that have you noticed any increase in, you mentioned violence, domestic violence, et cetera. What about anxiety?
Definitely.
Tell us about
our own campus research, Jules et al., a research done very early in the pandemic, where they found among 330 workers, this is April, we're looking at April, this research came out in April, there was an increased level of anxiety among workers, mainly, do I go out there, save my job, work, and then take this virus home to my family? That was the main reason for anxiety. That research showed something also very interesting, that young people between the age of 18 and 35 were experiencing higher levels of loneliness. One would think it's the old people, but it was the young people. But I refer you to Erikson, and when he talks, the theorist Erikson, when he talks of identification and isolation, a fear of my own self, of who I am in society and among my friends. So they're feeling this crisis of isolation more. And this pandemic and this closure is making them feel more claustrophobic.
Thank you, Dr. Ford. Before I go back to Dr. Degia directly, when he first mentioned about the lack, I might have given the impression that there was lack of information on the 1864 cholera pandemic. I really should have said that there's some, but it's not a lot of it that has been transmitted to popular folklore, popular culture. There's actually a study that I read written by a Daria Ford called This Too Shall Pass, Memories of the Barbados Cholera Epidemic of 1854. And in it, he said some 20,727 Barbadians died in 6 months, between May and November. And the epidemic was centered largely around Bridgetown and St. Michael District, although it also migrated into other parts of the country, sometimes from his account, when people panicked around St. Michael and migrated the country and then took it with them. So there is some literature on it. And so that's which people can go for themselves and refer to how Barbados handled it. Even the burying, there were so many deaths and they were coming so quickly that there had to be mass burials where people were being buried on top of each other in graves. The church graves, yards all the space that they had to go into farmland, et cetera, to bury persons. So there's something like that, but that's 1854. And you have to understand 1854, this is just about 16 years after emancipation, where people would have planned, because not only too many Barbadians would have been educated, but science itself was not that developed. There were still a lot of reliant on superstition, and by this religion to explain natural phenomena in societies. And I think Barbados would have suffered as a result of that. And they were not clear cut, like how we have protocols now to manage this. We would not have had the equivalent then in 1854. But Dr. Geiger, if you can zone in, for example, on some of the areas where you see repercussions emanating, How about the family? How about the primary institution in society is the family. What are your estimate, or how are your estimate from your readings, experiences, even at community college with your students, have you said that this virus has impacted on the Barbadian family and how it functions?
Yes, Mr. Marie, can we take a break and then let me take that question? The moderator is asking to take a break.
Oh, okay,
and then
thank you.
I can take the question afterwards.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You depend on BRC for genuine permaclad, color clad, and permaseam steel roofing products. But did you know you can depend on BRC for installation too? That's right. BRC has several experienced roofing teams to handle your roof installation professionally, using tested and proven fasteners and methods with satisfaction guaranteed. When it comes to roofing, there's no substitute for experience, and BRC's crews will give you a great job at a great price. Have your roof installed by the experts. BRC.